Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day.
Woo!
First, let's give a huge thank you to the praise team.
Yes.
We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 26. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Runner for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. As we eat spiritual food and become spiritually mature, we have access to more power and grace. Let us listen with ears to hear so we can nourish our inner man, pour into others who need a word, and be good witnesses for Jesus.
Amen.
Today, Pastor O will deliver a sermon titled, Be Perfect Even As Your Father in Heaven is Perfect. The text is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. So turn or click in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5, verses 43 through 48. I will read from the NLT. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen.
Amen.
Let's listen with open hearts to our teaching pastor's message titled, Be Perfect, Even As Your Father in Heaven is Perfect. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O. Make it plain for us.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Make it plain. Make it happen. Amen. Everybody, how y'all this morning?
All right.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house.
Thank you.
All right. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your name for giving us another chance to come into your house again as a collective body of baptized believers in Christ Jesus so that we could worship together. We didn't come here to be entertained, but we came to offer up to you some much deserved praise, honor, and glory because it all really belongs to you. Glory to you is intrinsic. We don't have to get it. You already got it, but we just relish you in it. And so, Father, we thank you and ask now that you help me to preach this word. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, gotta say something, right? Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
Because I acknowledge to you
my ways and thoughts.
And I like yours. And I am here today
to be changed, transformed.
So I can test and approve. What your perfect will.
Good, pleasing, and perfect will is.
In Jesus' name, amen. And y'all pray for me. I'm going through a series of medical issues. Amen. Yeah, I got four of them happening all at once. I think I've conquered two of them, and I got two more I got to conquer. Okay. Amen. These bodies are something else. Everybody see me who from the hood and knew me back in the day. Hey, man, you look good. Jesus said, don't tell them. Don't tell them. Leave them with the "you look good" thing. Amen.
Yes.
But yeah, we got stuff going on. But I am under a doctor, Dr. Jindal. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And he's all right. He hates pills and things. He likes holistic medicine. And so he had me doing some holistic things. Amen. He'll get mad at you, or he'll fuss at you. But anyway. Amen. Anyway. Hey. Today is Father's Day. If I'm correct, I believe it started around 1910. Some lady named Shanura something, she wanted to celebrate her father. And so that was the first celebration of Father's Day, but it wouldn't become a national holiday until 1972. And that's when we all started celebrating everywhere across America, Father's Day. It is not something that they do in heaven. It's not something you're going to find in the Bible. And that's why you never hear me preach on Father's Day or any other kind of holiday thing, because those things are not in the Bible. So I put somebody else in the pressure seat so they can come up with something. Amen. And Jonathan had already preached. And, amen. And as Leisha said, he boo-hooed all last week, so he good. Amen. I asked TJ, I'm like, you know, dude, you look like you got a sermon in you, man. He's like, no, you looking wrong, amen. So, amen. But I thank God I'm back to the old times. I'm preaching four times a week now. And, you know, the Lord knows that I cannot preach just once a week. So he gave me a venue where I could preach three times and then preach here. Amen. I get to do 3 hours. A week in Bible class, reading through the whole Bible from all the epistles all the way to Revelation. And then I get to come here and preach on Sunday. So y'all pray for me for the Sunday sermon, because I get scared of preaching in front of people, but I love sitting in my office going off on people on YouTube. Amen. Amen. That's easy, and I don't listen to comments and stuff no way, so you know. If you don't send it to PastorGMO.com, I didn't hear it. Amen. Somebody told me you need to get involved in reading comments on your sermons. I'm like, dude, I got 73 different Bible classes on here. So every day I got to get up, Malachi, and check all 73 of them to see what you say. And then I check and check, Malachi didn't even say nothing. I'm like, oh, see, I ain't doing this no more. Amen. But this is the day that we celebrate fathers. You know, we celebrated mothers last month, and this month we celebrate fathers. But you know, heaven won't stop. Raise your hand if God is not your father. Amen. You see what I'm saying? So everybody in here, male and female, God is their father. So the world can, you know, we can parse out and say we're going to celebrate fathers on this day, recognize their sacrifice and, you know, what they do to make their children's lives better and all that good stuff, amen. But the Bible doesn't do that. So I struggled for about 3 weeks trying to find a sermon and find words. And then once I did find a passage of scripture, amen, the Lord didn't build the sermon until yesterday. He pulled one of them Jonathan things on me. Usually I don't get that last minute stuff. That was in the early years. I get it now a month or two out. And then we build it up, okay, over those 2 months, and then we come here and preach it. Amen. But what I was able to do was find, I tried to go to the Old Testament. I say, we're going to talk about Adam. He was a good father. The Lord said, what about Cain? What up with that? I'm like, oh yeah, that didn't work out too well. And so we jumped to Enoch. He was a good father, but God took him. So we don't know much about him. So I jumped to Noah. I said, nah, he was a good father. And the Lord like, yeah, but he kind of got a little drunk on the other side. And yeah, you know how that went, right? And then I said, of course, Abraham, he's the father of faith, the father of those who believe, right? And the Lord said, yeah, but he kind of sold his wife into slavery twice to save his own life. And amen. Wow. So, and then I started to mention Jacob. He's like, seriously? Seriously, him and we guys and all the rest of them?
Seriously? And Reuben slept with his mama? Seriously? Well, I don't know about that one. Amen. And then I thought, Moses. You can't reject Moses. He was a good father in his life. And why he ain't circumcised his kid? Why his wife have to do it?
Okay.
I'm like, okay. Of course, Joshua. Okay, we don't know if he had kids or not. If he was married, we don't know. Amen?
Okay.
Amen. So if you go through the whole Bible and you think about all the men, is this on?
No. We hear you faithfully.
Oh, y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, but the mic ain't working right. Okay, let me see if I got everything on. Let me see if I got the battery spot. No, might work with the battery spot. Testing.
Oh, it's got battery. Oh, there we go. Okay. We've got power. Houston, we solved the problem. Amen. You know, the Lord, like, you know, he preached comedy, so what is this? Amen.
Okay.
Amen. So I went throughout the whole Bible in my head and I tried to pick a father, couldn't find one. So things just pretty much, I thought Eric and Jesus, like, okay, another Jacob? Amen. Amen. So I said, I couldn't find one. And so the Lord, amen. Aaron, he let me stew. He literally let me stew and not tell me anything until yesterday. Me and she was sitting on the couch watching a movie. And all of a sudden, Jesus wanted to give me the sermon. So he just busts in and I grabbed my phone, started going to this scripture, that scripture, and that scripture. And guess what we came up with? Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, now another word for perfect is holy. I think the King James Version uses be holy even as your Father in heaven is holy. Be holy because I am holy. So once we got that part, then we had to figure out what does holy mean? So if a man or if human beings are going to pattern themselves after their Father in heaven, amen, be like their Father in heaven, what does holy mean? Holy means separate and distinct, set apart, amen, from all that is evil. Unique. What makes God unique? Raise your hand if you're omnipotent, if you have all power. Raise your hand if you know everything, you're omniscient. Raise your hand if you're everywhere present at one time. Raise your hand if you never change. Raise your hand if you're eternal and you weren't born, but you've always been. That makes God unique. That makes Jesus unique. You won't find anybody or anything in creation that possesses those which we call in Christian doctrine God's natural attributes. That's what makes him God and nobody else God. That's what makes Jesus God and nobody else God. That's what makes the Holy Spirit God and nobody else God. Because they're unique in that way. Amen?
Okay.
Nobody else possesses those natural attributes. All of us know when we began. And a lot of us know when some folks ended. But nobody knows when God began because he has no beginning. And nobody will ever know the Lord's end because he has no ending. Amen? So what about us? When God says, be perfect as I am perfect, we know we can't, what, be God. So he's definitely not talking about his moral, his natural attributes. But I had a teacher. His name was Mr. Husaba. He used to be a Catholic, and then he became a Baptist, and then he started teaching at William Tyndale. And he was my Christian doctrine teacher. And he was also my history of public worship teacher. Okay? What he did for us was he separated out God's moral attributes. Amen? So when the Bible says be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, be holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy, you have to flip over to the moral attributes because we're not unique like God. Okay, we're not eternal, we're always changing. We don't know everything, we're not all powerful, and we ain't everywhere at one time. But we can be like God if we look at his moral attributes. His moral attributes are holy. God is holy. I know we love to say God is what? God is love. God is love, right? That's what we love to say. And that's true, God is love. But number one, God is holy. And again, what does holy mean? Separate and apart from anything that is evil. The Bible tells us in James, let us not say when we're tempted that God is tempting us. Why? Because God cannot be tempted with what? Evil. Why? Because he's holy. So God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be separate and apart from whatever is not God, whatever is evil. God wants us to be like him. He wants us to be holy even as he is holy. Who else do we know in the Bible was holy? Job was holy. What did God say about him? He hated evil, amen, and he loved righteousness. So Job separated himself from what, as best he could, from whatever was evil. Now, how do we separate ourselves from what's evil when we partake in evil? Because all of us, sooner or later, don't do something that God told us not to do. How do we deal with that and then say we're holy as our Father in heaven is holy? Because when we go to 1 John 1:9, and that word confess, if you look at it up in the Greek, it's going to mean agree with. Amen? I can mess up, realize I messed up, and do what? Confess my sin, agree with God, and then what does he do? He forgives me my sin, and he cleanses me my sin, so I'm what? Being holy as my Father in heaven is holy. The problem is when we do wrong and call it right. Deacon John Sally used to say all the time when he prayed, when we get through down here, giving up the right for the wrong. I used to listen to them deacons pray. I used to listen to what they said. If y'all hear me repeat it all the time. Amen. So when we reconnect, God gave us 1 John 1:9 so we could remain holy. Sometimes we might lose, God will never lose his holiness, but we will. We can walk right out of it, but we can walk right back into it. We can do what Dr. McClurkin said in that song, when we fall down, we what? We get up. And we don't just get up, but we get back in line. And no matter how many times we fall down in a day, God got enough love to help us what? Get up. Amen? So we can be holy as he's holy. The Lord our God is a holy God. The Lord our God is a just God. Amen? So number one, if we're going to be like our Father in heaven, then we're going to have to be holy. We're going to have to start seeing evil the way God sees evil. I know what God calls evil, we look at it and say, that's fun. Amen.
Okay.
What could possibly be wrong with that? But God calls it evil. And I'm not smarter than God. I'm not even nowhere near as smart as God. And even if my mind can't conceive it, if my eyes can't see it, then God knows better than I do. So if God tells me, don't eat from that tree, especially if he tells me it's going to kill you, amen? I'm not eating from that tree. Amen? Amen?
Okay.
So we have to be holy like God is holy means when we see what God said, that's the way we start living. We do that in our what? Personal, family, church, and civic life. We find out what God says is right. We find out what God says is evil. And whether we understand it as evil or not, it might, to me, it was not evil to go drag racing on Sunday morning. The weather's beautiful like it is right now. You get nice cold temps when you're doing your test runs. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. Amen. But I was supposed to be assisting my pastor in teaching my Sunday school class. But we had substitutes. Amen. Somebody else always jumped in. That's the way I saw it. But the Lord didn't see it that way. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
So I don't know what it is that we amen. When God says this is not right, no matter what we think or how we see it, we have to believe that God knows better than we do. And guess what? If God tells you something not right, he's looking out for you. He ain't gonna get hurt. When I asked God in the 77 exact time, I asked him, why are you so concerned about what I do? How does that bother you? He said, don't bother me, but it's going to hurt you. Man. Why? Because when God said don't, if you do, there's a punishment for that.
Sure.
There's a consequence for that. Now, the wonderful thing about being a Christian is Jesus is the one that's working on us. So he will take whatever is supposed to be this punishment and make it work for our good. He won't punish us just because he can. He will punish us with a purpose in mind to make us better.
Amen.
He will never, ever do anything to make us worse. Jesus never, ever tries to make us bitter. He only always wants to make us what? Better. But the devil will convince you, like he did Adam and Eve, that being holy like God is wrong. What did he tell them? The day that thou eatest from this tree, thou shalt not surely die, but thou become like God, knowing good and evil. He convinced them that evil, doing what God said don't do, was good, was holy, was right, would work out for you. But we all know how. Look at us today. Look at our world today. Amen. We've been feeling it ever since we got kicked out of the garden. It's been like this. Ever since we had to leave the garden, it's been like this. Now, next in line in God's moral attributes is justice and righteousness. Amen?
Okay.
And when you look at Jesus' sermon on the mount, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, that word, the key word in that verse is mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. What is he talking about? He is not talking about the kind of mourning that's mentioned over in Ephesians where it talks about grieve, not the Holy Spirit who you have from God. He's not talking about that grieve over there. It's talking about the grieving of a loved one, the loss of a loved one. Amen? But what he is talking about here is different. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. And what does he mean by that? Those who mourn this unrighteousness we see in the world. Those who mourn the world not being like God wants it to be, people not living like God wants them to live. And when it seems like what Psalm 73 talks about, the psalmist said, hey, I went up to the house of God and I was mourning. I was sad. Why was he sad? Because it seemed like unrighteous people was getting over and righteous people wasn't getting nothing. And so he was sad. He was mourning that there was no righteousness. There was no justice in the land. Martin Luther King mourned. And he mourned until we got what? Civil rights. Martin Luther King mourned again. And those who worked with him, they mourned until we got voting rights, 64 and 65. It is that mourning for righteousness that God says one day things will be the way you want it to be. One day things will be right. One day things will be with Jesus on the throne in the millennial reign of Christ. So you'll be comforted because you are mourning over unrighteousness. You're mourning that God's righteousness is not throughout the land. And that causes us to mourn. That causes us to be sad. Don't we get sad when we see how people treat other people? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. how they did that Abrego guy and took him to Salvador, didn't that make you sad that they're just around here snatching up people and disappearing people? Amen. That's what he's talking about. Those who long for the righteousness of God to rule and to reign over the earth. Amen. And for justice, to be able to go to court and not have somebody who's got a bunch of lawyers beat you because you ain't got none.
Right.
But your case, and they judge justly and righteously according to the law. And not according to who paid them off or who didn't pay them off. They mourn because justice is perverted. They mourn because justice is without mercy. Amen. God always has mercy. But when there's no righteousness and when there's no justice, amen, people mourn. The Lord says, humble yourselves under him, amen, and you will inherit all this. Amen. When you humble yourself under God, amen, you inherit things. For instance, Job inherited everything he had. Abraham humbled himself under God and got up and went to the place God would show him, and he got to the promised land, and then God promised him the promised land. He humbled himself under God, and God gave them the promised land under Joshua. They actually went in and got it. Amen. So when you humble yourself under God, God will lift you up. He'll lift you up above your mourning over the sadness. He'll take you to a place where he took the psalmist. See, the psalmist said, I was tore up from the floor up until I went into the house of God. And guess what he saw? He saw their end. Oh, they was flying high on earth. They was flying high, had money. Amen. Had homes, had cars, had clothes, just like the people in Laodicea, who Jesus said, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. They had all of that. But they ended up like the rich man in Luke chapter 12. The Bible says that this was the man who said, wow, God has really blessed my farm, and it has really produced. What will I do with all my new crops? I know what I will do. I will tear down my barns, and I am going to build bigger barns. And there I will store up all my crops. And I'll say to myself, soul, rejoice, be happy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Why? Because I got all this. And then the Lord showed up. It didn't say an angel showed up. The Lord showed up and said, this night your life will be required of thee. And then who will get all these things you've saved up for yourself? Mm. See, he didn't humble himself under God. And he died and lost everything. Jesus told a parable about a rich man who fared sumptuously every day and was dressed in royal array. Amen. And then there was Lazarus. I don't know what Lazarus' station in life was, but it wasn't good. He was sick and couldn't get well, body covered with boils. His best day, the best thing happened in his day, was dogs licking his open wounds. That was a good day for him. And the Bible pointed out that no man gave him anything, especially the rich man. Well, guess what's common to all of us rich or poor? We die. And the rich man who did not humble himself under God lifted up his eyes where? In hell. He has nothing now. Nothing but torment. Amen. But Lazarus, a man on the other side, is sitting in Abraham's bosom. He has everything. He don't even have to speak for himself. Abraham doing the speaking with the rich man for him. The rich man still got an evil mind in hell. The rich man in hell is saying, Abraham, tell bum Lazarus over there to go dip his finger in the water, jump across this chasm, and put it on my tongue because I'm in torment in this place. You know, that tripped me out, Alicia, when I saw that, when I read that. I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus. They buried his body. What does he mean, tongue? How is he seeing Abraham? How does he know that's Lazarus? And how can he sense thirst with nobody? Oh yeah, Jesus is letting us know hell is real. And even without these bodies, we can be in pain. Even without these eyes, amen, we can be, amen, it can be bad for you in hell. I don't even want, you know, when I read that, And I found out that a spirit can suffer. Amen. Lazarus humbled himself under God, and now he is lifted up. Abraham said, while you were up there, you had everything. But now you're down here, and you don't have anything. The Lord told us in Luke 16 and 9, he said, use what? Worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. So when it's gone and you've died, you'll be what? Welcome, like Lazarus, into eternal dwellings. The Lord says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. Amen. For they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for things to be done God's way, the right way, the blessed way, the enriching way. Amen. They will be filled. When? When Jesus comes to reign. On this earth, justice and righteousness will always be what it is. But when Christ comes to rule for 1,000 years and he is the sole judge of all the earth, and those who he appointed to judge under him as Moses appointed them under him, amen, they'll be the ones, amen, meeting out judgment during the millennial reign of Christ when everything will be perfect, amen? So if we're going to be like our Father in heaven, then we're going to have to do right and we're going to have to be just, amen? The Lord says in another place, be merciful. Amen. Show mercy, and mercy will be shown to you. Be merciful. In Ephesians, it talks about how merciful God is. In 1 John, it talks about how God has lavished his love on us. Mercy means that we don't get what we deserve. God had the ultimate mercy on us by sacrificing his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, what the song say, so I wouldn't have to die. So I wouldn't have to be eternally separated from the life-giving source, which is God. I won't have to die. Now, if you remember Adam and Eve, when they disconnected themselves from God, right? Amen. They didn't drop dead, but they didn't feel good either, did they? No, they running and hiding. The God that they, hey Marshall, how you doing? The God that they used to run up to all the time when he would come to meet with them in the cool of the day, now they're running from him. They're scared to death. They're afraid of him. Amen. But God had what on them? Mercy. They didn't get mercy because they confessed their sins. Because when God went to ask them about their sins, what did they say? Well, Lord, yeah, I ate for the tree, but the rib gave to me. Right. Yeah. And then when God went to Loretta and said, Nicholas Loretta, what you did? She said, what a snake you made. He tricked me and I ate. That ain't confession. Amen. That's blaming somebody else for your problem, for what you did. So what did God do? He had mercy on them. And God made them an offer. They did not deserve mercy, did they? No. They didn't even confess their sin to be forgiven. They didn't even ask God to forgive them. They tried to lie their way out of it. Okay. Amen. But what did God do? He had mercy on them. He had mercy on them. And we should be like our Father. Be perfect even as your Father in heaven is imperfect. Amen. So that means be right and be just. Right. That means humble yourself under God. How you gonna call God your Father and you don't humble yourself under him? Jesus said, how you gonna call me Lord, Lord, and don't do nothing I say? Amen. Amen. I saw a post on Facebook saying, going to church don't mean nothing. Going to Bible class don't mean nothing. You can get a church all the money in the world. But if your heart is ugly and nasty, amen, and unchanged, that's what means everything. It doesn't mean anything to God to see you sitting here and then you go out there and act all trashy and messy. Amen. You're messy on your job. Amen. God knows. Jesus ain't just, he don't stay in this building. Where is Jesus? Seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So he ain't stand up in here. When we leave, he leaves. Why? Because in the person of the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. And look, church, he lives in us 24/7, 365. It's not like Jesus walks away when we get around our friends and start cussing like we ain't even saved. It ain't like Jesus walk away when we know we ain't married, but we in the bed with somebody that ain't our wife and this ain't the marriage bed. Amen. In these days and times, the Lord is saying, see, this is that YouTube kind of preach. See, on YouTube, people tell me I'm hard, okay? And they say, I bet you don't preach in church like that. Amen. But church, it's time out for us not being like God. You know why the world don't like God? Why the world don't like church? Because too many of us don't look like God and don't act like nothing. Don't act like him at all. Amen. We're not holy like him because we do anything they do. We cuss better than they do. Okay? We cuss as much. We cuss like Jesus' ears don't work. Don't you know, one time I was in my backyard touring and I was working on my hot rod and it was doing that hot rod thing, not working right. So I cussed it out, the carburetor. I stabbed the carburetor before. I don't play. Amen. Amen. So I cussed the carburetor out, and Jesus was like, hey, hey. And I'm like, what? Ain't nobody back here but me and you. He's like, I don't want to hear that crap. In other words, I had brought Jesus, amen, like we was bones. You know how we do when we kicking it. Ain't no language barrier. We just go ahead and throw them out there, nice, spicy ones. See, when we talking like that, Jesus don't hear it, right? No, he hears everything. A man, a deacon at First Baptist Church, I forget his name, gave me a book. He stayed over on Edsel. And it was Walking with Jesus Christ in the Details of Life. Amen. That book tore me up. Because I was one of them types that, like she was grandmother, say, you talk right and walk left. I was that type. Amen. And that book just ate me up in every part of my life. Walking with Jesus in the Details of Life. I mean, y'all know how we switch up when we get around people that we cool with. People that might not go to church as much as we do. Might not do the Bible class thing, and they cuss like Jesus can't even hear. Amen. But he wants us to be the light of the world. That ain't the light of the world. If you're acting just like the world, you're the darkness of the world. You're making him look bad. You know what Jesus really hate? Shackles. He get me fussed at so much talking about that. Because people blame me, they don't blame him. They attack me. He hates shackups. A shackup is the direct opposite of what God instituted in the garden. So that means the devil has taken God's kids like he did Adam and Eve and turned them against God. They're advertising and displaying house fire. They're advertising and displaying sin. They're not advertising and displaying Jesus. That's where we are today. God wants us to be like him. When Jesus was in the world, he said, Marcia, he said, the words that's coming out of my mouth, they're my father's. What does that mean? Every word I speak out of my mouth. Now look, Jesus said every word we speak out of this mouth, we're going to give an account of to God. So you're not getting away with that. So whatever come out of your mouth, no, you're going to have to answer it when you stand. When 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, amen, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether good or bad. So you're not getting away with that. Amen? Amen. Now, what was I talking about? Huh? Yeah, he hates shackles. He hates that. Look, church, we become boyfriends and girlfriends, and then the P.C. Harvey rule kick in. If you act right for 90 days, y'all gonna have sex. Amen? That's not God's rule. If you ain't married, ain't no sex. You know, I taught that one time at First Baptist Church, and one of the preachers came up to me afterward. Well, he wasn't a preacher yet, but he was gonna become one later. Amen? And he came up to me and he said, Reverend Overall, was you for real? Does God really expect us? I learned that the hard way. And I'm teaching this to him in 78. I ain't learned it till 77. I got saved in 75. So for 2 years, I was still rolling. I was still sweet Jesus. Amen. I was still rolling. And then Jesus talked me about that. And I'm like, you must be serious. You can't be serious. And I told Jesus, you're going to have a problem because I like that and I don't plan on giving it up. And so by the August of that year, I was married. Yeah, yeah. But then I found out there, don't get married for sex. Not a good idea, because there's a whole, after them 3 minutes, what you going to do with the whole rest of that day? Amen. What you going to do with the whole rest of the day you're going to have to deal with? Amen. Yeah, it's just the light just came on, huh? Amen. But now what you going to do? Amen. You don't even want to cut it. You ready to go home? Yeah. And don't even want to come over. Amen. Amen. So, church, long story short, God wants us to be like him in every way. Okay, I know there's some hard stuff, but remember, what did he say through the psalmist? The Lord remembers our frame that we are what?
Dust.
Amen. And what does Sarah call us? Dusty. Amen. Say we act dust. Sometimes we're going to act dusty. Okay, and when we're not like God, and we know we're not like God because you don't cuss people out, you don't steal, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't do none of that stuff. So when we find ourselves doing that stuff, and the devil say, see, you ain't like God, you don't belong to God, you're like, hold up, homie. Father, I confess my sin. That's all you have to do. He forgives, he cleanses. And guess what? The devil gonna say, you need to stop working on a person because she just ain't changing enough fast enough. Jesus said, I promised her I'd work on her until she completed. Now, if you ain't got no patience to wait till I get her completed, that's your problem. But I'm no complete person, okay? And you ain't gonna, you're telling me what to do. I ain't down there no more. I'm up here now. I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so you can forget that. I ain't the Lamb. Except to those who need the Lamb. Amen. Be like our Father. When it comes time to show love, show love. Because God's major last attribute is he's filled with loving kindness and mercy and love. Love empowers all of it. Love makes it all work. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments, do what I say. Amen. So love makes it all happen. But be holy as God is holy. Be just and right as God is right. Be filled with loving kindness and mercy, giving people what they don't deserve. Like he doesn't give us what we deserve. Amen. And let all of that be driven by love. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Lord God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're the perfect example of how we should be. But Father, we're not like you. Well, sometimes we are and sometimes we're not. But we thank you, Lord, that you gave us a provision to always stay connected to you. And no matter how far down we fall, if we're the straightaway sheep, Jesus, we know you're looking for us. If we're the coin that's sitting right up in the house and lost, has no value because it can't be spent, you won't stop until you find us. And Lord, you know you put something in us called the Holy Spirit. And when we stray away from you on purpose and go into that far, far country, we know that what you place in us gonna rise up in us as soon as we hit rock bottom. When we start to look at pig food and think it's good to eat, then we'll come to our senses. And when we come back home, while we're trying to tell you why we messed up, you're saying, get in some sandals. Get them a robe. Put a ring on their finger. You're making us sons when we only ask to be a servant because of what we did.
All right.
So Father, we thank you that we get an opportunity in our personal, family, church, and civic life to be just like you. In Jesus' name we pray and give you the thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.